Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Prepared for battle. Prepared for battle. Praise the Lord. Right, let's just get into that place. I know we've worshipped the Lord and there's a lot going on, and it's very important that we approach the Word of God with in the right disposition. So let's just quieten our hearts and our souls in the presence of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you are here in this place. You are with our online family. And you're everywhere else that your name is named upon the lips of your people. And we ask even now, Lord, that our hearts will be prepared for truth, to receive truth, our minds to comprehend truth and revelation, our ears to hear truth and revelation, our eyes to see truth, and for our mouths to speak it accordingly as we present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. Come and have your way with each one, O God. Precious, most noble Holy Spirit, we honor your presence. King Jesus, we love you. Father God, we adore you. My Jesus, my Jesus, you are my delight and you are my desire. My Jesus, my hope, my strong tower, my fortress, my strengthener, you are my delight and my desire, and I love you. I love you, my Jesus. And I bless you. I bless you, God, that the words that you've imparted into the heart of your Son bring glory to your name and fulfill their purpose in the lives of each one of us. Thank you for the anointing. Amen. So, We do have a PowerPoint, but not all the scriptures are on the PowerPoint. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is, if you have a Bible, we're just going to read the first, we're going to read the entirety of the text that we're going to be using for the series. And then today we will have on the PowerPoint the specific scripture that we will be looking at. So our text is Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 10 all the way through to 18. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. The title of our series is Prepared for Battle, Prepared for Battle, Prepared for Battle. And we're going to be focusing on the 10th verse, the first verse in our reading, which is Ephesians 6:10. And this is where it says, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, each day that is ahead of us is one that is filled with incredible opportunities and potential, but also challenges and struggles. God has called and equipped each one of his people to make the most of every opportunity, fulfill their potential, and to meet and overcome every challenge and struggle by his grace, wisdom, and power. But what we need to be reminded of today is that the life of the believer is one of combat and conquest. It is one of battles and victories. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground. The theologian Matthew Henry said, "We have enemies to fight against, a captain to fight for, a banner to fight under, and certain rules of war by which we are to govern ourselves." Church, we were born again behind enemy lines. And as followers of Christ, we have been deployed into, as it were, hostile territory, a battlefield, a war zone. But not a physical one, no, absolutely not, but one that is spiritual in nature. And while we seek to make the most of every opportunity, fulfill our potential in Christ, and while we face every challenge and struggle with God's backing and support, the battle rages on. Now, if you are a believer, and that is a true follower and disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in a battle. And in this battle, there are no neutral territories. The Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. The ship that you are currently sailing on is HMS Salvation. It is not a cruise ship, it is a battleship, an unsinkable battleship. Or maybe the battle that you are facing right now is one that is of the mind. Maybe the battle is to do with your health, or maybe it's to do with your marriage or your finances. And whatever the battle may be, you must be prepared to fight it. Amen. Apart from the Lord, you must be prepared to fight it, because apart from the Lord, there is no one else who can fight your battles for you. Now, there are many who can fight your battles with you, but there's nobody who can fight your fight for you. This is why, yes, as a church, we encourage you to read the word, meditate on the word, and memorize the word. But the thing about memorizing scripture is we know it very well, and it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Be strong in the Lord and power and might and the armor of God, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood and everything else. It just rolls off the tongue. And the problem is we can easily fall into a rut of just being complacent about what the word is actually trying to say to us. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, was writing to the church in Ephesus collectively and corporately, but also to each and every single individual. What we have just read is for the wider body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, but is absolutely, but it is also for you, child of God. The instructions that we have just read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 is for you. God is writing to you. God is speaking to you. God is saying to you, you need to be strong. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because nobody can fight your fight but you. Can fight with you, but not for you. And this is why you need to be strong. One thing is for certain, regardless of the personal battles that we have to fight, there is currently a battle that is raging over every village, over every town, and every city, and every nation, and on every continent. And this battle is over the most valuable thing in all of God's creation, the human soul. Matthew 16, 26 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Nothing. There is nothing. There is no amount of influence, wealth, power that you may think you can accrue that can touch the value of your soul. If you were to take the full and entire worth of everything that exists in this world, in all of our solar system, in all of our galaxy, and even across the galaxies of galaxies, with the hundreds of billions and billions and billions and billions of stars, and you are somehow to bring all of them into one collective, nothing will be able to touch the value of your soul. This is why Christ came. This is why Christ died. This is why Christ rose again. And this is why Satan wants to destroy your life, because your life is a trophy of God's mercy. It is a trophy of God's grace, and it is a demonstration of God's eternal power. That's your life. That's why you can't mess about with your soul, young man, young lady. That's why you're going to give an account for your soul, my friend. Because nothing, nothing can purchase that soul outside of the blood of Jesus. There is now a battle raging between the kingdom of God and the forces of darkness over every soul of every man, woman, and child on this planet because of its value, because of its purpose. And this, people of God, is the battle that you are now engaged in. But even though the human soul, including yours, is the ultimate price, the battle that is waged over your minds and your health and your well-being and your marriages and your families and your relationships and even your churches and your finances are all part of a wider war that is currently raging in the heavenly realm. This is the battle that you and I must be prepared for. Now, as I say these things, I can almost hear some of you say, I can't actually, because we don't believe in mind reading. But, you know, I'm just being metaphorical. Unless the Lord shows me something prophetically. And if he does, run. No, just don't run. I'm just playing. I'm just, no, don't, no, it's all right. No, seriously, no. Some of you, I can hear you now. You're just saying, please don't speak to me about battles, Pastor. I have no fight left. Or maybe you're saying right now, I'm in a battle right now. I'm in a battle, but I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm losing. Or maybe you're saying, I've had enough of, of the enemy having his way in my life, having his way in my marriage, having his way in my family, having his way in my finances, having his way in our government, having his way in this world, and I'm ready to take a stand. I just want to say to you, wherever you are today and whatever you're having to endure, I am confident that this series will encourage, equip, strengthen, and prepare you for the battle. And not only the battle that you are in right now, but the battle that is yet to come. An army that goes into a battle unprepared is an army that is destined for failure. Recently, the National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. Just let that sink in. The males of the species battle for dominance during the autumn breeding season, literally going head to head with antlers crunching together as they collide. Often the antlers, their only weapon, are broken, and that ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antlers triumphs. Therefore, the battle fought in the autumn is really won in the summer, when the moose eats continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight, but those who eat inadequately sport weaker antlers and less bulk. Now, there's a lesson here for us. Spiritual battles await. Satan will choose a season to attack. We know that it is modus operandi. The question is, will we be victorious or will we fall? Much depends on what we do now before the battle begins. The bull moose principle is simple. Enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they are needed. The U.S. Navy SEALs, which are not as good as our SAS, but the U.S. Navy SEALs say this: the more we sweat in training, the less we bleed in battle. Child of God, invest your time wisely in spiritual, mental, and physical training and preparation during seasons of peace, so that when you engage in the battle, you will not just survive, but you will thrive. Psalm 18, 32 to 34 says, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms could bend a bow of bronze." God does not want you to just come through when the battle is over. He wants to teach you how to overcome while you are still in the battle and it is raging all around you. He doesn't just want you to come through. He wants you to overcome. Some of you may have engaged in a spiritual battle, and by all accounts, it didn't end well for you. Maybe it's because that particular battle wasn't your fight. Or maybe it is because you did not follow the rules of engagement correctly. Or maybe it's because you were not prepared. The purpose, again, of this message and series is to teach us how to be prepared for any and every spiritual battle that we have been called to engage in. So, going back to our text, the full passage, Ephesians 6, 10 and 18, we see five things that the Lord gives us through his servant Paul that will help us be prepared for the battle and battles ahead. The first is what we're looking at today. Number one, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Number two, put on the full armor. The full armor that God supplies. Number three, be ready to resist the forces of evil. Number four, do everything to stand firm. And number five, pray always. We're going to be taking one a week unless the Lord extends the series. because this afternoon when I need to finish, I'll finish, because there's stuff that he wants to do afterwards. This is what happened in the first service. C'est la vie, Holy Spirit, whatever you decide. So let's take the first point. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus is one that is full of precepts for living. His letter, the entirety of his letter, and the six chapters include a variety of things like the believer's call to responsibility, the believer's call to purity, amen, the believer's call to spirit-filled living, the believer's call to building and maintaining healthy relationships, and the believer's call to spiritual warfare. Now, for the first four things to be achieved, there is no doubt that we need God's grace, power, and ability. Amen, church? But even if for some reason we find ourselves going through a period when these things are in low supply, because of our determination to honor God's word, we will still endeavor to fulfill this call to responsibility, purity, spirit-filled living, and to building and maintaining healthy relationships, even if it meant having to do so in our own strength. But this is not an option when it comes to the fifth thing that Paul instructs the church in Ephesus, the believer's call to spiritual warfare. We will not win any spiritual battle in our own strength. Amen. It is impossible. You will not win any spiritual battle that you fight in your own strength. The foes that surround you seek to attack you, to limit you, to take you captive, and even to destroy you. And this is because you are a child of God, a carrier of his light and life, a representative of his kingdom, an instrument of his reconciliation, a channel of his truth and freedom, a manifestation of his glory and power, a defender of the faith, a messenger of his gospel. Yes, the foes that are around you and surrounding you right now are doing so because of who you are and because of whose you are. And those foes are not physical, they are spiritual. So you cannot engage with a spiritual enemy using physical means. This is a breach of the rules of combat, a rules of engagement. You are no match for a spiritual enemy if you engage in the fight using your physical attributes. Your will, your knowledge, your intelligence, your emotions, your natural resources. Such a foe is too strong to be defeated through such means. Why? Because such means are physical and therefore can only operate effectively in an environment that is physical. But your enemy is a spiritual one. So the abilities and resources that must be employed in such a battle must be the kind that can operate effectively in an environment that is spiritual. A feather duster is used for dusting. A sword is used for fighting. It will be silly to try to use a sword to remove the dust from your mantelpiece. And conversely, it will be futile to use a feather duster to fight an opponent who is armed with a sword. In this house, we are raising up and training up people, men, women, young people, to use their sword. That's why we don't preach a feather duster message. A feather duster message is good for tickling you behind your ears. But we don't do that here. In this place, your arm is trained for war. In this place, your arm is trained to wield your battle axe, the sword of the Spirit. Nobody can fight your fight for you. So, child of God, you need to learn how to wield your sword. That's why you get trained to use it. And don't tickle, tickle, tickle behind the ear. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. But he also says, get on your altar right now and become the living sacrifice, yielded, surrendered to me, to my cause. The right weapons in the right fight will get the right results at all times. But these spiritual weapons must be wielded using a strength that does not originate from us, nor is sustained by us, but rather a strength that is supplied to us from Christ and sustained by Christ. So looking at our main text today again, Ephesians 6:10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have other versions here that I would like to offer to you. The NIRV says this, finally, let the Lord make you strong. Depend on his mighty power. Become strong. Draw your strength from the Lord. The Amplified says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. The Phillips Version says, in conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord and in the power of his boundless resource. Holy Spirit, help us get this, Lord. Let's take a closer look at some of the words and terms used in the text. We start with the first one. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're going to look at that phrase, be strong. The Greek word here is endynomai. Endynomai, obviously it's linked to the other word for power, which is dunamis. But endynomai, and it means to fill with strength, to grow strong, to increase in strength, to be strengthened, to be strong, sharing power ability or to impart ability, to make able or to be empowered. So again, if you are born again today, if you are saved, you are in Christ and you are in the Lord. And because you are in the Lord, you can be strong in the Lord. Because by virtue of you being in the Lord, you continuously, and if you recall what I said last week, there is a difference between that which is continuously and constantly. To something that happens continuously is uninterrupted. It doesn't end. There is no breaking in this. Because by virtue of you being in Christ, by virtue of you being in the Lord, you are continuously sharing in his power. You are continuously receiving an impartation of his ability. You are continuously empowered. You are continuously strengthened. You are continuously increasing in strength. You are continuously being made strong. The grammatic tense used here in the text is present, which suggests rather the maintenance than the attainment of strength. It implies that the Lord's strength is already and permanently yours. To be strong in the Lord doesn't mean to acquire strength. To be strong in the Lord means to believe that you are strong in the Lord because of your union with Christ. That is an unbreakable union that has been formed between you and Christ by Christ. And it is sustained by him. So you are to simply believe that because of this union, strength is yours. It's not something that you have to strive to possess or something that you have to now jump through hoops to acquire. It is yours. But this endynomai also means you've got to increase in strength. You need to get stronger in strength. There's got to be a proactive decision that says, I'm not just going to rest in my laurels, but I'm going to start to get stronger in the strength of the Lord. Now, this is true regardless of how you feel about yourself. even at your weakest point, his strength in you is being made perfect. Listen to this. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers out of life's hardest battles. David was the last to be chosen to fight the giant, but he was also the first to slay the giant. The last became first, and the first became last. In your weakness, his strength is still being perfected.
Amen.
So be encouraged, child of God. No matter how you feel about yourself right now, no matter how you see yourself right now, let the Lord make you strong. Depend on his mighty power. Become strong by drawing your strength from the Lord, that strength which his boundless might provides. Be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord and in the power of his boundless resources. Now let's take a look at the other word. He says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. We are not only instructed to be strong in the Lord, but also in the power of his might. Let's take a look at the first word there, power. The word power there comes from the Greek word kratos. Kratos. And it means, kratos means dominion. And dominion, of course, means lordship. It means authority. It means government. It means influence. It means jurisdiction. And of course, it means power. The word kratos in the Greek New Testament appears 12 times, which is considerably less than the other word that is commonly used for power, dunamis, which occurs 120 times. Now, while the word dunamis describes God's miraculous power, might, and strength, kratos describes the purpose of God's miraculous power, might, and strength. Are you with me, church? Dunamis describes the power. Kratos describes the purpose for the power. Are you with me? Amen? You're with me. All right. Now, what is this description? What is the purpose of this power that Kratos is now seeking to describe? It is describing that which is Christ's dominion. That which he exerts as his dominion, his lordship, his authority, his government, his influence, his jurisdiction, and his power through force, strength, great power, and great power that operates through the life of a believer. The exertion of Christ's dominion, his authority, his influence, his lordship, is not being done directly from him to this earth. It is being done through his body. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
It is happening through your life. Are you with me, church? The exertion of his dominion on this earth, his authority, his lordship, his jurisdiction in the realm of the spirit is happening not directly from Messiah to the earth. He accomplished everything that he needed to accomplish up until this point. At the cross of Calvary, he now has said to us, go therefore. It is done through you and I, child of God. This is why you cannot expect someone else to fight the fight that he has called you to fight. That's the difference between dunamis. Dunamis says he is strong. Kratos says why he is strong. Kratos determines the purpose of that strength. It's not just enough to say, well, I've got the arsenal. Why have you got the arsenal? It's not just to say I have been endued with power, but you shall, oh, come on, let me hear. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then Kratos tells you why. In the first part of the verse, he says power is coming. In the second part of the verse, he tells you why power is coming, that you shall shall be my witnesses, even on to the ends of the earth. You got to understand, if you don't know why you have received what you received, you're not going to know why the devil keeps fighting you. We've gone past the hour, but church, I'm going to finish this. I have to. So. You got to learn. In my house, we turn the dial down on the old oven, so we have a. We're under grace, not under law. The burnt offerings is gone, so we just need to be a bit wise. Amen. Might. Power, Kratos. Then he goes on to say, so we've looked at be strong in the Lord. We've talked about strength and dunamai in the Lord and in the power, Kratos, of what? His might. Be strong in the power, we've looked at that, of his might. The word might here is ikos. And it means force to overcome immediate resistance. It means force to overcome immediate resistance. That's what ikos means. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we must, this is what we can get out of the whole text. If we take all these things up, what I've just said about being strong and dunamai, being this continual increasing of strength because you are in union with Christ. Kratos in the power, the reason why you have power, and then ikos, his might, the very force to overcome immediate resistance. When we put it all together, this is what it sounds like. I want to help you guys and to help me as well, because I had to work this out through. We must continue. So when it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, this is what I get out of it. I don't know what you get, but this is what I get from me chewing it. This is what I get. This is how it helps me and how it applies to me, how it makes sense to me. We must continue to increase in the strength that the Lord supplies to us through our union with him, and we must be prepared to exert Christ's dominion, his lordship, his authority, his government, his influence, his jurisdiction, and his power through the operation of his force, his strength, and his great power, by which we are able to overcome every and any immediate resistance. Hallelujah. That, to me, is what it means when it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is not for the elite. This is not for the super spiritual. This is for you. It is for you, child of God. If you are saved, if you are born again, this is what he is calling you to do on this earth, until he either removes you by way of death or by way of rapture. And what is the outcome of Christ's dominion being exerted? Well, the kingdom of God overruns and defeats the kingdom of darkness, for starters. The light of God exposes and expels the dark works of evil. The power of life overthrows the power of death. The freedom of God rescues the captives of the enemy. And the grace, love, and mercy of God delivers every rescued captive into the eternal security of his kingdom. So another question now must be, how? How does this happen? Two words. The gospel. That's how his dominion, his kratos, is exerted. Again, permit me to remind you that each battle that you might face on a daily basis is part of a wider battle for the souls of every man, woman, and child on this planet. So once more, the question now must be, how? How does this happen? How does Christ's dominion, his lordship, his authority, his government, his influence, jurisdiction, power, how are they exerted? Again, the gospel. It happens through the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom and the good news of Jesus Christ, which announces that through his death and resurrection, though we were once separated from God because of our sin, we have now been reconciled back to God because of Christ's righteousness. We were once enemies of God, but now we are his friends. We were once at war with God, but now we are at peace with him and he with us. The gospel declares that through the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though we were once orphans, we are now children of our Heavenly Father, not just for a time, but for all time and eternity. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. You see, church, when the gospel is proclaimed, the force, strength, and the power of Jesus Christ is released and made operational. Can you now see how the power of this gospel totally destroys and obliterates the powers of hell? Can you now understand how the destruction of one leads to the advancement of the other, namely the kingdom of heaven? This is why you must be reminded that the life of a believer is one of combat and conquest. It is one of battles and victory. Sooner or later, every believer must discover that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground. Truly, we have enemies to fight against, a captain to fight for, a banner to fight under. The German theologian and reformer Martin Luther said this: if the devil was wise enough, he would stand by in silence and let the gospel be preached. He would suffer less harm. But when there is a battle for the gospel, when there is no battle for the gospel, I beg your pardon, it rusts and it finds no cause and no occasion to show its vigor and power. Therefore, nothing better can befall the gospel than the world should fight it and force it with cunning. I want to tell you now, this was the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts 19, it declares that God worked unusual miracles through his hands. In Acts 19, it was recognized that even the demonic spirits knew his name, alongside the name of Christ. So much so that when the reputation of not only Christ, but the reputation of Paul was spread abroad in the realm of the spirit, every witch and every warlock came and said, "We've already lost. So here is everything that we have." And they laid everything at the feet of Apostle Paul. All of their trinkets and their amulets and all everything that they used for their witchcraft and their warlock incantations to the cost of in excess of 50,000 pieces of silver. In today's money, $5.5 million. Who wants that kind of revival? Who wants that kind of revival, huh? We say, "Lord, send revival, start with me." But when revival really comes, are we ready for it? When God pours out the fire and the glory of his Holy Ghost, and we start to see people run to Christ and run to church and say, I've been possessed by devils all of my life. I've been a witch. I've been cursing you all of my life. I've been surrendered to witchcraft and demonology all of my life. And they are broken by addiction. They are broken by all kinds of oppression. What are we going to do, church? You got to be ready. You must be ready. You must recognize that his name, it wasn't just the Lord's name that they recognized. It was Paul's name that they recognized. Why? Because it was Paul? No, because Paul was in Christ. He was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians was for you, child of God. Amen. My Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do. It's time, church, for us to wake up to the truth of his word. Put down the feather duster, hallelujah. Let's pull out the sword and let's begin to do some serious damage. Your reputation and your name, not just the name of Christ, needs to be known in the realm of the spirit. But this is the thing that gets me. After all this is done, in verse 20, it said this about Paul's time. Where? In Ephesians. In Ephesus. This was in Ephesus. This happened in Ephesus. In verse 20, I think we have it up. In verse 20 of Acts 19, it says this. So the word of the Lord grew mightily. The Greek word there is kratos. And prevailed. The Greek word there is ekos. With everything that happened, great miracles, signs, and wonders, witches, warlocks being brought to the feet of Christ. He says, when they decreased, the word of God grew mightily. Mightily kratos. The dominion of Christ was exerted because of the growing of the word. And as a result of that, it prevailed, ekos. It overcame all resistance by might and by force. This is what he has called you to do, child of God. It is not enough for you to be resisted now. You got to start doing some resisting yourself. Amen.
Amen.
We're almost there, so I don't know where our worship team is, but whoever's here can get on keys, please. I know where they are. The precious worship team are also doubling up for our youth ministry. So that's why we got to grow the team. Amen. And we are working it out. We're working it out. The Lord is working something out. But now I need to wrap, because I'm going to show you something as I conclude that is very, very important. I want to talk to you now about the enemy's true purpose for spiritual warfare. I'm going to pull it all together. And I pray you, because I saw something in preparing this. I pray you see it too. The enemy's purpose for spiritual warfare. It is because of this gospel through which you were saved, upon which you now stand, that this enemy of God has now become your enemy. Yes, there may be a spiritual battle over your physical and mental well-being. There may be a spiritual battle over your marriage, your family, your relationships, your finances, your church. But you need to know why the enemy is so hell-bent on your destruction. He is after you and everything that pertains to your life because of one thing. The gospel of the kingdom by which you have been saved and upon which you now stand. Your mental and physical health is not his main objective. It is not his true purpose for spiritual warfare. Neither is your marriage. Neither is your family, your finances, your relationships, or even your church. His main objective and true purpose is to make the gospel of the kingdom by which you have been saved, upon which you stand, and of which you have been called to be a messenger, of no effect. But to do this, he needs to attack. This is very, very important. To do this, he needs to attack and systematically dismantle the infrastructures of your life. What are the infrastructures that surround your life? The infrastructures are your mental health, your thought life, your physical health, your marriage, your family, your finances, your relationships, your time, your resources, and of course, your capacity and desire to be an active member of your local church. That represents the infrastructure around your life. If he can succeed in doing this, then he will be able to achieve his main objective, which is to make the gospel of the kingdom of no effect.
but by the strength of the Lord and in the power of his might, the infrastructure of your life is reinforced and fortified. He therefore will fail. It will fail. He will always fail. And the gospel will be of great effect. Souls will be saved. The kingdom of darkness will be driven further back while the kingdom of Christ surges forward. Hallelujah. So we have seen and covered. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have looked at be strong. We have looked at power. We have looked at might. But what pulls it all together is those three words, in the Lord. That's what qualifies it. That's what qualifies you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Child of God, you have no need to fear any spiritual enemy. As formidable as he may be, you are more so. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have all the reputation that you will ever need. Your name is already on the list. You are already a divine and supernatural VIP. They know you because they know him. And because they know him, they know you. Hallelujah. You are more so because you are in the Lord. Again, the psalmist declares in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. Today, believe and know that you, because you are in the Lord, you are a carrier of his light and life, a representative of his kingdom, an instrument of his reconciliation, a channel of his truth and freedom, a manifestation of his glory and power, a defender of the faith. You and you and you, child of God, above all, are a messenger of his gospel. This gospel that is unstoppable, this gospel that is unshakable, this gospel that is insurmountable, this gospel that pushes back every single work of the enemy. In Christ, I conclude with this scripture. This is what in Christ means. It is in him that you are filled with the fullness of the Godhead. It is in him that you live and move and have your being. It is in him that you dwell in safety and security. It is in him that you discover your true identity. It is in him that you find true peace, hope, and freedom. And it is in him that you can be strong. Hebrews 2:14, last scripture, says this. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Him who had the power, the word power there, is Kratos, dominion. And through his death and his resurrection, he has completely overturned the Kratos, the power, the might of Satan, the dominion of Satan over death, and has injected and infused your life with life, eternal life, abundant, and life that is new in Christ, child of God. This is what it means to be in Christ. He says, if you remain in me, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear fruit and it shall be much fruit. What do we now need to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm doing, man. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, church. But I'm telling you, church, hear me now. We don't do feather duster here. We don't do feather duster in this house. Please stand. We don't do feather duster. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys can find the ABC of salvation. If you can find it, please find it. If you can't, don't worry about it. But if you can find it, please find it and just pull it up. I just want to reach out to anybody in this room right now who is not saved. If you are not saved, if you're not born again, I want to reach out to you. If you're not a child of God, or if you have walked away from God, if you're backslidden, and I'm not talking about people who think that. No, please, you can't think that you're saved. You either know that you are saved or you are not saved. If you don't know that you are saved, then my friend, it's very possible that you are not saved. And that's why you need to get born again. The battle has only just begun. And it's only going to intensify. So I just want to just say to you, as you've heard, this is why Christ came. This is why he paid the ultimate price for you on the cross. This is why he hung on that tree for 6 hours. He saw your face. He looked at you and he recognized that your soul was the most valuable thing in all of creation. So he died for you. He died for you that that soul might be redeemed from slavery to sin, to Satan, to sickness, to death, and to eternal damnation, separated from God for all of an eternity in a place called hell. Jesus Christ came and he did this for you, that you might be taken from that place of brokenness and darkness and despair, and you might be brought into a place of life. You might be brought into a place of freedom. You might be brought into a place of hope, not only in time, but for all of eternity. This is something that you will never, ever be able to accomplish by yourself. Being a good person will not make it happen. Doing good things or just thinking happy thoughts won't make it happen. My friend, if you are not in Christ, you are going to a lost eternity. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he has made a way out, an escape route from that place. And he has made a way in, a way out of despair and damnation, and a way into hope and life and freedom and joy and liberty in heaven for all of eternity. And if today, right now, at this very moment, you do not have peace with God, then I just want to make an appeal to you. Get right with God. Be born again today. Accept Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. How do you do this? By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believing that he died for your sins but rose again. He was resurrected on the third day like he said he would. If you are ready, even at this moment, to give your life to Jesus, to give your life to Christ, or maybe you've backslidden, if you are ready to return back to your first love, then I'm just going to invite you to pray this prayer with us. This prayer in itself cannot save you. This prayer cannot save you. This prayer cannot save you. But it's your declaration of faith. So if you're ready to pray this prayer in faith, if you're ready to do these three things, admit that you have sinned, believe on the name of Jesus and confess him as Lord, then let's do it together. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place. And because of my sins. Today, I admit that I have sinned against you. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I confess that he is Lord. So from today, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and be in my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Wash me clean. Make me new. And make me whole. Because from today, I give you my life for the rest of my life. From here to eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please come and see somebody after the service. You can even come and see me.
But I want to do something now. I just, you know, church, please keep on praying for me. Keep on praying for us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for bearing with us. And on one hand, I do apologize for the time taken. But on the other hand, I can't really. I'm in that place of conflict because we are on the cusp of things happening, not only in our church, but in our own individual lives and all around the world. But I want to bring our time together to a close. Now I want to release you in Jesus' name, especially for those of you who have children. Thank you for your patience. We truly, truly honor the sacrifice that you make to just be in the Lord's presence. We value that. We appreciate that. We honor it in Jesus' name. We love you and we bless you for that. But we want to release you now if you have to go. But if you don't have to go, we also want to encourage you just to tarry just for a bit longer, because I believe that there is a divine exchange that is already happening, but the Lord wants to intensify that. Strength is rising already, but it's going to rise even more today. Some of you who have said, I think I've lost my fight. I've lost, I can't do it anymore. Something is shifting right now. Some of you who have said, you know, I feel like I'm drowning. You're being raised up in the mighty name of Jesus. There is a rock that is being formed under you. You are going to experience this if you're not already doing so, in the name of, and I need to release people. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all now and forevermore in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give God praise, please. Let's give praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords.
Thanks so much for joining us on our LWC YouTube channel. We really hope that you've been blessed and you've enjoyed our content on offer today. Now, if you do want to stay in the loop or you want more information of what we're doing over here at Living Waters Church, you can head over to our website at www.lwchurch.org.uk. Also, you can follow us on Facebook as well as Instagram too. Now, if you want to check out last week's sermon, you can do so by clicking right here. And if you do want any additional and bonus content, you can click right here as well. If you want to get in touch, then why not send us an email at admin@lwchurch.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. But apart from that, stay blessed, stay safe, and we'll see you very soon. God bless.